It's just plain wrong that getting a good night's sleep is so hard. You know, sleep doesn't have to be this hard.
There is a faster way to get better sleep. Sleep Takeout gives you real practical sleep solutions and your questions answered.
I'm Dr. Vaughn, and I'm a licensed psychologist.
And I'm Dr. Satouni, and I'm a board-certified sleep and pulmonary physician.
And we're here to talk to you about sleep advice without a pill.
This Sleep Takeout podcast is for information and entertainment purposes. This podcast is not intended as professional or legal advice.
Podcasts are not treatment. Sleep disorders and mental health conditions need to be individualized with the healthcare provider. Sleep Takeout is not a replacement for professional advice or recommendations.
So help your friends sleep better. Share the Sleep Takeout podcast with them and be sure to rate and review this episode on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back, Michelle. It's great to see you again.
Hey, Daniel. How are you?
Good. I'm always excited to be back here recording another episode in the Sleep Takeout podcast studio.
Yeah, I like the way that it's come out.
Yeah, it's a great little room in here. So, and you've got now sculptural pieces with your wire and leaves and looks like a tree of life.
I should bring some of my other stuff. One of the things that I enjoy doing kind of in my spare time is things that are outside of my comfort zone. Art is one of them.
Oh.
And so I'm very proud of my pieces, that not that they necessarily want to like live in my house all the time, but I strategically place them so I just have like happiness and joy. Now, one of my kids is actually extremely good at art. The other one is moderately good at art. So we do our projects a little together. But it gives me a lot of joy just to see them.
Yeah.
And in the patient exam rooms, when people have been here, they're like, oh, you know, what is that? I was like, well, that's a piece that my kid made.
Aww.
And anyway, it's kind of fun. And then it's like a little piece of them is with you.
Totally. Yeah. And it's a little piece of tranquility, like everywhere. It's like you're gifting little pieces of.
Yeah. It also works with my upcycling. A lot of my art is upcycled. So like the wire stuff is upcycled. And
that looked like it took like tools. Like you, that's.
It took tools. Yeah. It took a drill and it took.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Wow. So you're gonna have like a glass
kind of alive too.
You're gonna have like a glass blowing studio behind the podcast studios before
long.
Oh my gosh,
yes. I have a lot of high hopes with things. So
including a natural swimming pool at some point.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I want to talk about today is like what's been occupying my time at night. And it's not necessarily a good sleep thing, but I wanted to talk about it because there is a good component that could be used. And it's this virtual reality Oculus set. So around Black Friday, they all went on sale because there's a new version that came out. So I did not get the new version of it. But if you have not tried virtual reality since like the 80s or 90s, you need to try it again. Because with the way that everything's connected in the internet and the way that you can actually connect with other people, it is a very interesting experience. I have a lot of motion sickness, so I've always been just avoiding it.
Yeah.
But one of the really interesting things that that really helps with virtual reality in something like the Oculus, and there's other ones like Google Glasses and stuff like that.
Well, this one's fully immersive though, right?
It's fully immersive.
Yeah.
It's a very good either wind up or wind down. So you have to kind of know what you want to do. But I've found that I've been using it at night, giving myself a 20-minute timer.
Okay.
And if I haven't had enough activity that day, we talked a lot about like physical activity.
Ooh.
I do physical ones.
You do exercise inside the Oculus.
Yeah.
Good
so
for
there's
you.
There's a couple that I really like. One is a hoverboard, so it's almost like skateboarding.
Okay.
There's one that's boxing, and then there's one that's dancing. And you can get 7 days trial on things. And it's not like I'm buying all this stuff. But I think they're really good for the, hey, I didn't do enough. I just want to get my jiggles out, you know, and you can do that. But they're actually very fun and entertaining. Don't be afraid if you've had vertigo, just kind of limit it and try different things. But you're not turning around in circles. So it's not having, you're not doing that. You're very full in control, but it's so immersive.
Wow.
Apparently I'm also quiet enough when I'm doing it that occasionally my husband will like come by and turn off the light and I'll be in the room and then it'll tell me I don't have enough light.
Oh.
And I'll say something. I'll like use my words like what? And then he'll find out that I I'm still there in the room. So so even though you're not sweating and you're not making a lot of noise, it could be used in a house that's somewhat small if another person is sleeping.
Interesting.
Okay, then there's the wind down versions that are more immersive, like you're floating or there's some quiet music, and it's a really good breathing exercise.
Oh.
And so where you're, instead of, you know, looking at your Apple Watch and doing the breathe in and breathe out with the circle.
Right.
You're actually doing it. And the more that you breathe in, it turns certain colors. And when you're more that you breathe out, it turns certain colors. So it's very immersive.
This sounds like the demo I've seen on the Apple Vision Pro, where you're fully immersed in a breathing exercise.
Yeah, Apple Vision Pro is another fully immersive virtual reality. Yeah. Anyway, so From a review on sleep products, if you know that you're doing something with a set amount of time, it could be part of that, either the wake up in the morning or the wind down routine. And, you know, once you do this, you're like wind down routine, that's kind of sets up with you're not doing more other things like more work, more checking emails. So you don't go back and forth. So I think that there is a place for virtual reality or a fully immersive type of a game that you would just do at certain times of the day.
There's a good amount of research on using it from a therapy perspective, but usually more along the lines of like anxiety related kind of conditions.
Super distracting when you're fully immersed somewhere. Sure. You know, if you're if you're like waiting in line at the roller coaster, they say that that's half of the excitement. And for me, it's more the, you know, the fear and the anxiety, but on the roller coaster, you don't actually have time because it's so fully immersive.
Oh,
so you don't have time to figure that out.
That's awesome.
And that's why you're so excited to spend like another 2 hours waiting in the same line to take the ride again.
Wow. Okay. I mean, it sounds worth trying out and experimenting with.
It's not as fun. You know, if you've been ever to Legoland, either before it's supposed to rain or after it's supposed to rain, I'm just using Legoland as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But and you can go on the rides as many times as you want because there's no line. It's not as fun as when you're standing there watching it, hearing people scream, seeing people's faces when they come off. There's definitely a more of an immersive.
Oh, yeah.
Immersive, multi-sensorial reaction to it.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we talking about today?
All right, so today we're talking about Comisa.
Okay, so
new phrase.
So when we plan out our episodes, Comisa is something that I came across, I guess it's been almost a year ago now, when I went to a conference and I saw on the schedule it says Comisa. It's C-O-M-I-S-A. It stands for comorbid insomnia with sleep apnea. And we've been talking a lot about insomnia and about, you know, the dysfunction that it creates and how it kind of sets up the negative feedback loop, or I guess the positive of the negative feedback loop. But this is where, let's say you've gone to a doctor or you've acknowledged that you might stop breathing in the night. Obstructive sleep apnea is one of the most common reasons someone's going to see a sleep specialist that is also, you know, pulmonary or maybe a doctor for snoring. And they've been diagnosed with sleep apnea. Now, what if you add that on top of somebody who for, you know, decades has had trouble either falling asleep or staying asleep. Now we diagnose them with a medical problem that is the reason or part of the reason for waking them up.
Right.
And now we want them to do some sort of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So when in the medical, you know, world, we're sitting there saying this is a subgroup of people that is going to be a very hard group of people to treat.
Right. Well, it's because they're both experiencing like impairment in your daytime life because of what's happening to you in your sleep.
Yeah, but they're actually not always seeing it as the cause. Now we have a cause.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't see and it's because you have a cataract that's subsequently grown and we're going to take out that cataract and everything's going to be better. That's kind of why this is a subgroup of people is they're not necessarily mutually related to each other.
Right.
It's just that the treatment may make it more difficult to treat and manage both of the conditions.
Ooh.
So obstructive sleep apnea is a condition where someone repetitively stops breathing during their sleep. And it can manifest as tiredness during the day or waking up And the diagnosis is made by a sleep study. Mm-hmm. And right now it's being made many times with a home type of sleep test where they mm-hmm. had you wear a monitor and it records how many times that you stop breathing. It does not record how well you sleep. Mm-hmm. It does not record how long you sleep. It just records your breathing while you're supposedly sleeping or supposedly in bed. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't even know if you're in bed, really. I mean, some of them have sensors that tell you if you're upright or you're laying down, but many of them don't. And they count up how many times you stop breathing over the recording time, and that's how they decide on the severity. Okay? So whether or not you stop breathing over five times per hour, let's say it's 6 times per hour, and that's mild sleep apnea, or you stop breathing over 30 times per hour, that's severe sleep apnea. The severity is based still on this like index of how many times it was per hour of that recording time.
Okay.
So let's say you have a person that had really bad insomnia and they slept 2 hours, but they wore their device for 8 hours and they stopped breathing 10 times in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. That's very different than stopping breathing 10 times in 8 hours.
Sure.
Okay. 10 times in 8 hours, you don't have sleep apnea, even though you really do.
Right.
Okay. 10 times in 2 hours still might say that you actually have like mild or moderate sleep apnea. But that could be really much more significant if it was just, you know, on your back or in a deeper sleep period.
Right.
So it kind of gets complicated because now the doctor prescribes you something. And just as a reminder, the quick version, there's previous episodes where we go over all the versions. But the main thing that a non-sleep specialist will offer you is what the sleep center wants them to offer you, which is a CPAP machine, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is a mask that goes on your face, covers either your nose or your mouth, and it's connected with a hose to a machine that delivers positive pressure to keep you from having your airway block off. And that positive pressure device, if you've never gone to a sleep lab, is going to be auto-adjustable, and so it will adjust up and down for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have like a lot of these variables. All of a sudden now we're asking a person who can't sleep well to stick something on their face. Mm-hmm. And then we're also asking them to sleep with something that may or may not be giving them enough pressure at that moment.
Sure.
Okay. And then
because it'll automatically adjust.
We're going to give them this like warning for their insurance purposes that if they don't wear it enough or they don't wear it right, then it won't be paid for.
Mm.
Okay, so we've created like a series of all this stress.
Sure.
And then another thing on their face that if they're not doing well with it, they've already had the issue. If I don't sleep well, then I'm going to have dysfunction the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest question, you know, when you have these two things that are both things that obviously I treat separately and together, is what if that person doesn't even want to start treatment for the one thing that could be fixing their problem if they are unwilling to put something on their face? Okay, so before I let you answer, the other thing is the thing that goes in your mouth that keeps your jaw and your tongue forward, that once you do that, you can't return it. So like you're paying a bunch of money that may or may not be covered on insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know you'll be able to tolerate it. And it's supposed to solve the sleep problem you didn't even know until right before a test that you had.
Right.
Okay. Then the third option is like a little valve or something that goes on your nose or like a breathe right type of of device. And nobody knows if that's working or not.
Right.
And it can also cause something, you know, issues because it's on your face. And then the other one is surgery, which they never do first unless you're a small child where it could be, you know, curative depending on how your airway is built. But we're not ever going to do that. So we're going to rely on the fact that maybe you failed one of the other treatments because you weren't sleeping well.
Right.
So what do we do to like kind of unpack this?
Ooh, it's complicated, especially if you... Well, and there's so many different layers to it as well. I mean...
So many different layers.
Yeah.
And again... The sleep lab, not necessarily a provider, nurse, or a doctor, is actually just saying you had a bad test and now we sent an order for this machine without even your knowledge or your awareness.
Right. And usually the first time it might not even, like in my case, the machine didn't even fit well in the beginning. Like I had to adjust the mask, try different approaches, like those things. And then even adjust the pressure as you go.
Yeah.
So there's,
and you did under the YouTube guidance and
from the guy from Australia. Fascinating feedback on that.
And you didn't do it like from something that person who actually ordered the device was
right. It's one of those things of it's a multi-step system that's trying to treat a complicated problem, but there's so many steps and the communication of what's needed at each step is not very clear. Like this would be a great opportunity for somebody to invent or create an app that walks someone through all the stages, and the AI might actually kind of be able to detect people that fall off the stages.
Okay, so it exists. Okay.
Oh, I love it.
In full disclosure, because of this issue, and I will tell you, there are companies that exist on this, and there is a whole certification in the sleep technology world that does clinical sleep education.
Oh.
Okay, so these are non-doctors, not licensed healthcare providers. In many situations, they've come from a healthcare background, but they've gone the route of going into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so not to belittle it, because they can spend the time and the energy, but these are apps and also just private companies that said, listen, there's this big hole and we don't know what to do, but they are not your medical providers.
Right.
So they're there to kind of coach you through it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's kind of take a step back because I really want you to have – like maybe something or two that you can take from this on. I didn't know why I had some sleep problems. And now I was told I have a new problem I didn't know about that is making me have trouble fall asleep or stay asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do I want to do first? I'm going to tell you from my standpoint, and I'm not a psychologist, and I say that multiple times, like in my own head and out loud to people.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that I want people to realize is that these are not mutually exclusive conditions, but they are like self-perpetuating negative scripts, you know, in your head.
Absolutely.
You've had sleep issues, and you will continue to have sleep issues whether or not you have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you still have to set back on the behaviors and how to kind of work backwards. So I will tell them that this will not worsen your sleep and it should not like resolve all of your sleep issues just by having a diagnosis and that you've already had this from before, but it may make it easier to treat.
Absolutely.
Both conditions.
Well, it's kind of, I think, you know, similar, you're mentioning, and we had this conversation before about, especially with, you know, 1% better and, you know, looking at like the atomic habits kind of guy perspective. And it's that each one of these pieces will gradually build on each other to help you, especially with something as complex as COMISA, each one of these pieces would help you to gradually get better quality of sleep. And that's ultimately the goal, is to get the better quality of that sleep. So absolutely.
All right. So someone says, I really need help. And then they reach out to you and they say, where do I start with this?
Yeah. I would say, well, first of all, we got to know where they're at from a sleep apnea perspective, like where they're at in terms of actually like using it. At least that's my question when I see somebody like that. Because most of the time, they're not even using sleep apnea. They're prescribed it.
Yeah.
And they're not using it. So, So then I my next step then is, okay, let's work on getting you to use your sleep apnea machine a little bit better.
Okay.
So
yeah, I think that's really good. It's where I start, is I tell people to remove it from the time they actually want to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So something that they very much find relaxing, whether it's watching YouTube or listening to some music or reading a book during the day when it isn't high stakes of their insomnia issues at night. I tell them to just get used to what it is and turn it on and be friends with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what you're doing is you're using a desensitization approach, which is good from a psychological perspective. Like what you're trying to learn people, or what you're trying to do, and usually this is happening through parts of it are conscious, but other parts of it are really like subconscious kind of learning, which is really this idea that you're learning to associate or pair more pleasurable experiences with something that initially has been paired with an aversive experience. That's usually what sleep apnea, and well, it's usually what using CPAP is. Sleep apnea as a condition is kind of interesting, because you only, the negative effects of sleep apnea are delayed, meaning you don't feel it until usually like the next day when you wake up, and you feel maybe some of the side effects then. In the moment, in the night, you don't experience a negative aversive experience.
Unless well, you're not aware of it, but there might be a physiologic reason.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Your brain, well, and yeah, until your brain wakes you up. So this is the part where what you're doing is you're learning to pair a relatively negative stimulus, like the what the mask has become to be associated with and the airflow, with something that's generally more positive. And over time, you learn to recognize like, oh, yeah, actually, this mask is doable. It's I can actually function and still do things like that. That's where I think like what you and I have talked about before, making sure that it's a good fit, making sure that settings are done correctly. That's also a huge part of that. Don't trust the website to suggest a mask for you.
Yeah. I think that a lot of times, you know, talking to somebody who's either gone through it before might be very helpful for you. Having that on a cheerleader of sorts, maybe somebody who sleeps really well with a CPAP, not the person who gave their machine back after they never unboxed it because they thought it was going to be loud because they turned it on without it attached to somebody's face and then they heard a bunch of noise with it. So it's really one of the drivers, though, of someone who does have sleep issues and now gets diagnosed with a sleep problem or a medical problem that has to be managed during sleep. And the best one I can tell you that I can come off the top of my head is somebody that starts dialysis at home. It's always done at night. Okay. Or somebody who actually has to take medicines in the middle of the night. So some of my narcolepsy patients will do this. And they almost have that anticipation that they are like almost afraid that they're going to sleep through whatever dose that they're supposed to take at night. So really kind of wind back, acknowledge still that there might be an issue. But somebody with COMISA on my side, this is a person who should not have the sleep study on their own and be allowed to navigate on their own. I would really say this person needs either a sleep health coach. Or a physician that is able to work with them pretty routinely and regularly, or someone in the psychology world who's familiar with the CPAP device.
Yeah, this is where I would say, and I'm just going to kind of put this up here to chat about it. You know, when you're talking about if you legitimately have a claustrophobic type of an anxiety reaction to CPAP or treatment for it, so that's a legitimate like anxiety reaction response. And this is really where you really do need to work with someone that actually understands how fear works and how you can actually go through a desensitization process on that. That one's a huge piece of helping you to really reduce the impact of that non-adherence or the non-use of CPAP on your life, if that makes sense. And part of that is very structured. Like you're not going to start out, you know, in the very beginning by just doing one or two things. You're going to start out by really identifying what's the fear. And how do we kind of create almost like a hierarchy of approaching it? And this is where I wanted to put up here of a hierarchy of approaching what using the CPAP mask can look like. So, for example, one of them can be, you know, step one might be your stage one, trying on the CPAP mask, you know, for, you know, in session, like in like a therapist's office in a relaxed kind of environment. And then as you gradually kind of become more comfortable with that and your level of anxiety decreases, then you would work your way up the hierarchy. The goal being is you're always trying to make sure that you're challenging what your mind is doing, what your mind is trying to interpret it as. So that's definitely another kind of important piece on that.
So if you're out there and you have insomnia and then recently did a test and are diagnosed with sleep apnea, I urge you to go seek some professional help. In terms of optimizing your treatment, because you are in that subset of a person that may need more focused control than what you can get from a home care company that throws you a device.
Right. Absolutely. Fascinating stuff, Michelle. There's more, I'm sure, to talk about this COMISA stuff moving forward.
Yeah, it sounds like more job security for us.
I mean, it does, but I think it's also because the devices themselves comes with a set of characteristics that can inhibit sleep sometimes.
But there are really some good coaches out there that have a lot of experience with it. And once you you kind of unwind a lot of these two things that go together, I think that people are extremely successful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, until next time, Sleep Nation, we'll see you then.
Sleep well. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Sleep Takeout. We hope that you found our discussion on sleep valuable.
Help your friends to sleep better. You can share the Sleep Takeout podcast with them and be sure to rate and review this episode on your favorite podcast app.
Remember, Sleep Nation, sleep well.
Dream big.
And wake up refreshed. Bye.